Welcome to Gluck Radio. I am Dr. Errol Gluck, executive life coach and master problem solver. Today we're here with two witches. That's right. They didn't come on broomsticks. They are practitioners of the 70-year-old neo-pagan religion Wicca, or witchcraft. There's a lot of myth surrounding the fastest-growing religion in the country, and they're here to shed some light. Wicca is an earth-based religion. It's founded in the 50s by an English civil servant, Gerald Gardner. Wiccans practice folk magic. They worship many different gods and goddesses, and yes, they're even brooms. Gardnerian Wicca also borrows from Freemasonry, occultism, and romanticism. Witchcraft has an alluring history, and it seems that just recently it's starting to gain popularity, acceptance. This is Wicca. First off, let me welcome, we have Lady Shadow and Star, and they are Wiccans. They're going to explain what the Wiccan belief is all about. For all of those out there who don't have any clue of what it means to be a witch, to be a Wiccan, to understand a different faith, you're going to be fascinated. So we have with us Lady Shadow and Star. Welcome to the program. First of all, I know you have a holiday coming up. It's Maybun. It's right around here. Tell me a little bit about the holiday.
Well, for me, it's one of our harvest. It's actually the first harvest second. Lunasar was the first, and then Maybun, and then Samhain. For us at Wiccan Family Temple, we celebrate it as our Thanksgiving. So we have our Thanksgiving kind of early, and we have like a feast. Everyone comes and they bring a dish or a drink. And we do a ritual of our second harvest. And then we have our dinner, and we all kind of, you know, go around the table and we kind of say what are we thankful for.
Oh, cool.
Things like that. And so that's how we celebrate it. And it's officially on the 23rd, but we're having it on the 22nd
this
year.
That sounds quite interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to jump into the question that everyone wants to know. Some people think that Wiccan is Satanism. Some people think it's a cult. Some people think you fly on brooms. What is witchcraft? What is Wicca?
Well, for me, Wicca is a very beautiful, peaceful spiritual path that is defined more by a person's own desires, manifestations, self-searching, soul-searching, however you want to put it. It's a very peaceful path, and it's enlightenment, self-discovery, empowerment, basically.
And for me, I've found that witchcraft to me is what we practice, similar to what any other religion practices.
So what is it?
It's an earth religion that, like she said, like Shadow said, very peaceful, very earth-based. More of us be coexisting with the rest of the planet rather than living on it and, you know, and surviving. And it's giving back one to the other, being symbiotic with one another.
Okay, so witch is who you are. The craft is what you do.
Yes.
So the craft is giving back to one another and to
the planet.
And to the planet.
For our existence.
Okay, and for your existence.
Yes.
So it has, tell me where spells come into this.
Well, spells are up for interpretation, as we all know.
Okay.
There are several people that use spells in a very negative light, channeling the more darker energies that exist on the different planes unseen as well as out in the world.
Yeah.
As you know, you could walk by someone on the street and just get a very strange vibe from them, and you'll know to kind of go around them or, you know, let me start again.
Some people have different energy.
Tour them.
Some people have positive energy. Some people have negative energy. But are the spells in the religion? And this is what I want, the following. I don't even know. Is it a religion or is it a...
It's a religion.
It's a religion.
And to me, for us, spells are like your prayers. You have a prayer and you say a prayer for whatever it is very fervently, and you're putting all your all into it for this prayer because you want it to happen so much It's exactly the same thing.
So give me an example of a spell.
I did a spell in 1996. The reason I'm bringing that one up because it's very, it was very potent because I was selling my apartment in the East Village and I wanted something that was, I was no longer tied to a mortgage. I wanted something outright that I can pay for outright, that was a two bedroom. I was very specific. Just forgot one little detail, but I was very specific. I wanted to, and whoever it was, I would pay them $500 cash. And I did the candle, I did the spell, I did everything. I was like, yes, it's going to happen. And it did. I bought the apartment for $2,000.
Okay, so the spell is a form of a prayer.
That's what
so
exactly.
What you're doing is you're channeling energy in order to achieve a goal.
Exactly.
It's not necessarily negative.
Well, nope. What it is ritual.
I mean, do you have spell check?
Actually,
we kind of do. Yeah, we kind of do. You do have to keep everything in check.
Yeah.
A spell is ritual basically put with your manifestations and your intentions.
Yeah.
So, or rather, you're waiting for your manifestations.
You said that. Let's slow that down. With your manifestations, what you want to bring about,
yes.
And your intentions
yes.
of
right.
your heart.
It's ritual based on that.
So yeah. in essence,
just thinking about it. You're actually putting action
yeah.
toward it.
So
yeah.
would it be fair to say that
proactive.
That the intent of a Wiccan is like the intent of any other person, any religion. It could be good or bad based upon who they are.
Yes, yes.
Is that a fair
yeah,
statement?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fair, yeah. Not even fair, but accurate.
Oh, I'm
yes.
accurate.
Yes.
I'd love to be accurate.
He's on today.
All right, so who are your gods and goddesses, and what does it mean to be a god or a goddess?
Well, the goddess to me is really inside the connectedness to all things earthly and beyond. Our moon is really kind of the main goddess in our religion. In fact, well, Star called it a religion. I call it a path more than anything, because it's the minute you label something a religion, someone thinks that you're following a doctrine.
Do you have yeah. an IRS, you know, do you get –
501c3 status.
Do you?
We started our process.
Some people
for that,
do, yeah.
In that case, you
yes.
have a religion.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't, but yeah, some people yeah. do.
Some people
yeah.
do and some people don't. But right. the most important thing is the path. Okay, so the moon is a goddess because she gives
yes.
energy.
Energy and
to
flow.
The planet.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So when you talk about god or goddesses, you talk about that part of nature that gives something back to you.
That's
energy,
right.
flow, inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. The okay. moon being the goddess, the sun okay. being the god.
That's right. Right.
So, and, you know.
So let me ask a question that everyone is thinking. Why have witches over the years been the victim of extermination, of crimes against them, you know, of burning at the stake? You know, why have, you know, and I'm going to go down some more of those questions, but why has there been such a anger and hatred towards you? And why, when people think of witch, okay, do they get nervous?
Well,
as if you're anti, yeah. you know, Christian or anti, or anti values.
Okay, for me and the way I see it personally, I see it as it's very military like in a sense. How do you get rid of something that you want everyone to negate or to lose a concept of? Or if you take something and you want to make someone not like it, what do?
You stereotype it.
Exactly. And you give it the media propaganda okay. for it. You make it, and that's what a lot of the most popular religions, as I see it, has initially done. And they're very good at it. They're smart. And they it's kind of like divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if I make your religion something that it's not, and I give it the devil name or whatever it is, or Satan as they call it, that's not part of our religion. That's their Satan. It's not ours. But they're very good at giving us that concept. And if you did that and you make it bad, 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 then obviously it's the bad thing. Let's annihilate them.
Right,
it's a perfect concept.
So what is being said, and whether you like it or not, what is being said that when people want to marginalize something that is different than them, they create a scare within people.
Yeah.
They create something that's dark and negative, just like the Germans did concerning the Jews, that they're somehow subhuman, in order to marginalize them and eventually destroy them, because it's simply one political system bullying another.
Exactly.
Well, it boils down to just generally, you know, people and their fear. and followers and leaders and people that are wayseers and see things differently. If you're not, you know, like just the political race that's going on now, you know, you're putting people into two boxes. You know, you're going to follow us. You're consumers. You're going to be, you're going to have a lot of kids. And we you know, we're very different in our path. And we stand out, unfortunately. We express ourselves and people kind of by looking at us, they might know it's a little bit different. People are scared by different. People are you know, fearful of what they don't know.
For, and for the most part, do you believe that you're living within the laws of the land and that we follow all the laws of the land, the paying of the taxes, the being good citizen? Is there anything within the religion or the path that goes against simply living as a citizen, you know, of the country that you're in and following the rules and laws of that country?
Not at all. Not at all.
In fact,
our creed, as we know, is harm none, and whatever you do comes back to you threefold. Whatever you do comes back to you.
The first one,
harm none.
Yes.
That's part of the Wiccan read. It's actually the only part that I pretty much follow.
Harm none
and do what you will. But then we at Wiccan Family Temple add another part. Harm none and do not you will, especially yourself.
Okay.
Because people tend to harm themselves a lot too, and that's part of the whole thing of negating themselves as well. So that's a big deal for us.
My audience who doesn't understand, the one thing that I want to point out is that, and you guys could correct me if I'm wrong, there's no forced conversions in Wiccan. You're not proselytizing.
Oh, no.
You're not putting anyone to the stake because they're not believing.
And we're not
You're
even
basically saying, harm none. Let us lead our own path of life, love, and empowerment.
That's right.
And if you don't agree, great. Follow your own religion.
We don't recruit witches. We don't convert. We don't recruit. People are drawn to us.
We kind of simply say, even when they come to our school, we have an Academy of Pagan Studies, and even when they come, the first year is all about, is this the path for you? So we kind of go through the whole year of letting them know, yeah, this is a lot of friggin' work.
That's right.
It is. It's a lot of work, and it's commitment. And when they see that, a lot of them, we start off with like 30 students, and then a lot of them kind of mill off after the part because they're like, damn, this is a lot of work. This is not what I thought. It's not a fad, and it's a lot of studying.
Yeah.
And Scar, I just want you to see, words are so important. When people hear pagan, you know what they hear? They hear anti-God. Pagan is not anti-God.
No,
what is pagan, girls?
Well, for me, it's just the goddess inside. It's who you are, connecting with everything around you and everyone around you.
Yeah.
And not judging and loving and just working your life and practicing your path, not out of fear, but through all love and light and amplifying the love.
What she said, basically. And then additionally,
what she said. Okay.
Yes. And then also additionally, it's a duality to us. To me, there's many, many aspects of gods and goddesses. We accept both male and female. Not all past. It's not a matter of all women. It's just that, unfortunately, when you say witch, they think female. But we don't have a warlock or any of those things.
Right. Yes. Oh, my husband is
just
a witch.
Like,
he's part of our covenant as well.
Just like Catholics. Yeah. Do they say male Catholics or I don't know what else they would have called them? I mean, they just say Catholics, right? It's the exact same thing. It's just that a lot of women are drawn to it more because it's an empowerment. Whereas women in the real world, a lot of them are disempowered.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their chance to be empowered and realize there's a duality. I mean, without one, there can't be the other. It doesn't make sense.
Some Wiccans practice skyclad, which means you're practicing naked. A lot of hate. And there's flagellation, there's binding, there's other practices that resemble BDSM. There is the fivefold kiss. Listen to this, guys. The fivefold kiss of kissing the feet, the knees, the womb, the breast, the lips.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I was going to say, you're going to probably get more people after I read this.
Of course.
This is like 50 Shades of Grey.
This is like a Wiccan drive, okay? So my question is there something inherently erotic about Wiccan and witches?
For me, personally, I think not really in that sense. I think it's just an acceptance of the fact that they're male and female, and we're not going to deny the fact that without one and the other, there's no fruition of other races or the animals or anybody being able to have babies. I mean, One without the other does not exist. Well, they kind of do now with the infertility and all the different things
that's
that they
like
do.
Go off the path.
But, well, but generally speaking, no, not really. Because I think human beings in general have their own sexuality of where they want to take it. The BDSM or the different things that they want to do. There are some paths that do practice the fivefold kiss and all of that, which I'm happy for them. We don't do that in our tradition. And neither do we practice sky clad, because I'm not going there like this.
Where would you do it in New York in the middle of Central Park?
Exactly. I have a backyard. It's pretty private.
Yes, it's a topless girl in Union Square.
And by the way, the fivefold kiss, I don't know why it's called five, because there are eight kisses. Two on the feet, two on the knees and genitals, two on the breast and the lips. It sounds like there's more than five. So where's the fivefold kiss?
It's more like the pentagram. Right. It's the areas of where they're going. The two sides, the two legs.
The points of the pentagram.
Yeah. Okay. So it will be eight when you add it up. But, I mean, essentially, it's the five areas.
Right.
Oh, that's cool.
Ah, so fivefold kiss is the five areas.
Yes.
And you don't practice it.
No,
right? Doesn't practice it, but but do we practice it?
Well, okay, I'm just going to say that sexuality is not the basis of Wicca.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not the attraction of Wicca, but it is an extension of, because, you know, you're in touch with all parts of yourself.
Yeah.
And generally, you know, witches, we're very confident. We're very, you know, we're very in touch with ourselves. And for me, I'm a very sexual person, and not that I practice the five-point kiss, but I practice plenty of kissing and hugging and
me
all
too.
Of other things.
I love it all.
So I'm happy to say I'm just like everyone else out there, loves affection, and I'm very touched.
Why do I feel like back in the 60s? What's the story?
No. My husband and we enjoyed each other very much, very much.
Amen to that.
The day he died.
Okay. I would agree with that.
So tell me about the family structure of most witches. Are they single? Are they married? Are they? Tell me.
I was married until the day my husband passed away from leukemia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have two sons, and I loved him all the way till the day he died, and I'm still in love with him. I may not have been in a lot of relationships or anything like that, but I'm much more the type of – I'm very singular-minded in the sense of if I'm with you, I'm with you, period. And that
you're
kind
not
of
with
a thing.
Anyone else?
No, I'm not. I have to really – want to be with you and all of that. So it takes me time.
This is not Lady Shadow's deal. So
that's
Lady
okay.
Shadow. No, wait, hold it. Wait, our audience wants this. Lady Shadow, tell us about you.
Okay, well, I am married. I'm in an open marriage. I'm polyamorous.
Polyamorous is
having more than one lover, but everything's transparent out in the open. Nobody cheats on anyone. Everyone knows about everyone, and it's just a free exchange of love and drama-free and... my coven particularly attracts similar people to myself. Ironically, when I get contacted to, you know, for people to join my circle, it is often other bisexual women like myself or men who are very, very in touch with themselves, or we call them sometimes male-identified lesbians because they are very, very sweet and kind and know what they are looking for and not afraid to say, you know, I'm a straight male, I'm masculine, but I really love this path and I want to get in touch with that. So
it seems like a very sex-positive religion.
Yeah. It's supposed to be very healthy.
So this is what one of the things that I like what I'm hearing, and I'm going to put it out there, is that – there are no lies and deceptions.
Right.
One is not saying, I am this. Even though there is obviously monogamy, meaning Star, you are naturally monogamous and
that's
and
just
faithful.
Me.
And that's just
people.
You. So it's not like that's not part of it. But
right.
Those who were not, just like in Christianity, those who were not, or Judaism or Islam, those who were not monogamous, at least what you're doing is you're putting it out there and saying, this is who I am. There's no lies. There's no deception.
Right.
That's right.
So
right.
Is it fair to say that the... And I'm asking, I don't know, that the religion does practice transparency, openness, and honesty.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
In fact, any true follower of Wicca, that's next to our creed, is openness, honesty, kindness, and love. In fact, we can get to the devil part. Like Star said, we don't worship a devil.
We don't even acknowledge a devil. So hold it. So tell us about the devil and it's what it's not, and tell us about the star that you're wearing around your neck. Now, Lady Shadow's wearing the star, and Star is wearing
a big old one.
A big old star. Okay, she's hiding it between her
boobies.
Her Yes.
Edit that.
Yes. No, we're not going to edit that. That's where they are. Everyone's going to know the stars between our breasts. Okay, go. So tell me that.
Okay.
People are lining up outside our studio, I see, after they heard that.
We like to earn our explicit rating every week.
Are you kidding? We're going to get you guys more clients.
For me, with the devil, I really don't know much about the devil. It's not my system or my concept. Again, that's very much Christian. So they can tell you more about it than I can. In terms of it, what it's not, we do not accept it. We don't condone it, as well as... you kind of empower to us a thought form, and that's what that is, the devil. And we refuse to empower it. It's kind of like watching Freddy. I don't acknowledge you. You're not there, so there's no possible way you're going to be in my world.
Right,
it's not happening.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah, I don't. We don't acknowledge them.
And the star around your necks.
It's for several things actually. The
What's
pentacle,
it called?
The pentagram. Often the pentagram is used in devil worship, you know, turning it around and the point facing downward is supposed to represent something different. We wear it with the top point facing up, which is the spirit, and it represents the five points, you know, earth, the elements of basically earth.
Yeah. No, I wanted to say that. Fire. I wanted to be very clear about that.
It's actually so many things because it's
things.
The elements as well as the human body. I mean,
luck.
Yeah, because remember we were telling you about the human body when you're
out.
Extended, which mm-hmm. if you look at the medical community, they've got it there. But
it's
that
like
man with the standing,
picture, yeah.
The man standing
the
like that,
head.
And mm-hmm. exactly
right.
the same, which they've been using for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of our symbols, but using it in the way that you accept it.
Right.
And
right.
they make it look like this is what they have discovered. I'm like, hello.
And there's no devil. There's no devil on that on those points anywhere.
Yes, right. At no point.
Yes.
Unless we've been carrying it around on our, you know, different parts and not knowing it.
Guys, do you feel that you have to hide who you are?
Look at us.
Or that witches? No. The witches, do they feel like they have to hide just because of inherent prejudices? You know, and
I think if we were going to a corporate interview,
we have to dress a certain way, maybe
right.
or whatever it is. I have been lucky. I have been self-employed most of my life, so I tend to not care.
I as well.
I even did real estate for 13 years, and I wore it. Now my clients did not see anything. We had great conversations, and I did really well for 13 years until I got ill.
We'll do a healing spell for
him. We're going to do a healing spell.
We've been working on it.
That's right.
God bless this mess.
No. Yes.
All right. So how does one tell their family that they're leaving the religion they're born in and they're becoming a Wicca? And how does that go down when you told your families?
I haven't been able to tell my mom because she's not willing to listen. My mom is extremely, extremely Christian. We're from Canada.
Evangelical or Catholic?
I think she's Pentecostal. She's one of those.
Well, no, you would know Pentecostal.
My mom is, they're always trying to convert. I find that invasive.
Okay.
If I'm not trying to convert you and I'm happy for you in your religion, if that's what satisfies you, then I don't see why it's not reciprocal. To me, in a sense, they're very judgmental and they don't allow, and yet they debase us in a sense to make us feel like we're not allowed to even discuss it. I'm not even allowed to discuss it with my mom. I mean, I had...
And the reason being, by the way, is the doctor of theology, is that you are perceived from them as the other side, the devil.
Right.
Because they don't really understand what you both have explained here.
Right.
So it's really out of ignorance.
And it's not. She's not willing to listen.
And she's not willing to listen because it threatens her belief system.
Right.
Okay. But lady... You have a different story, Lady Shadow.
Yes, my mom. my mom raised me very openly. She came out of a very tumultuous Catholic upbringing. So she vowed to raise her children to choose their own religion. So I was very lucky to, be in a very non-denominational situation until I was about 15. Then I kind of looked for my own path, and in my 20s, I researched many, many religions just to have a good knowledge of what was out there, and eventually was drawn, I was living in Los Angeles at the time, I was drawn to a psychic bookshop where I picked up my first set of tarot cards, and then that just sprung off this whole oh my gosh, this the Wiccan path, the witchcraft, like it's amazing. And it's, yeah, so I just kind of been doing it since I was about, well, about 29.
So Lady Shah, let me ask you a question. How does magic coexist next to medicine, technology, and science?
Wow. I think it's very similar, actually. What I practice in my coven and on my website is metaphysical Wicca, is what I call it. So it's not so much the traditional paths of paganism and the old school rituals. We write our own rituals. We create our own herbs, medicinal talismans. Everything is very creative and from the ground up and based on our group energy, theology. It's very peaceful, exciting, and healing all at once. And we do take components of science and traditional medicines, homeopath. Mm-hmm. We integrate all of that really into.
To me, they coexist alongside of each other because if there's something like for me with lupus that I have, I tend to go more with the alternative medication as much as possible, the teas, herbal teas, and things like that. But I have to take the painkillers as well because I mean there is no cure for it, but that's what they give you, painkillers basically, and anti-inflammatory. So I do the best I can with both.
Does a person have to be a certain age before they could join? Or they're underage because you could be at any age?
No.
Pretty much.
Our temple is called the Wiccan Family Temple. Mm-hmm. So we have babies and kids on. And yes, we do not sacrifice them.
That's right.
We love them. We love them.
No, we do not.
What do you say to your children when if they're thinking, you know, is this something where they're brought up in the religion or is it
a
choice?
For us, the whole idea of our Wiccan Family Temple and the Academy of Pagan Studies is that we raise our kids with it, mm-hmm. and educate them openly. And we don't just teach them Wicca or paganism. We teach theology across the board.
Okay, cool.
And so because a lot of us that are coming in are from the public school system and everything, I'm not going to name names, our teachers and myself, and we teach theology, period. And then when they reach their ages, they can decide, like Shadow was allowed to, Lady Shadow, they then get to decide what they want to do from there.
So Lady Shadow and Star, if your children came to you and said, I want to be a Orthodox Jew, I want to be a Pentecostal preacher, what would you say?
I would say
live.
Every path to God is your own. And it's up for interpretation and your truth and your perception is truly yours and it differs from person to person. And to march to your own drum and whatever you feel you need to do, you have my support. I mean, even if I wanted to fight it, you know, who am I to take that right from somebody to decide something different, a different path for someone? Yeah.
I agree with that, as well as try to support them as best you can. I just want to – my only thing about it is that to make sure that they're not being coerced into it because a lot of Christianity is, to me, more the cult.
It's a bullying, actually.
Yeah, because even when I'm walking into the subway or anywhere I go, there they are. Yeah. And they're like, have you accepted Jesus? And they're shoving it in my face.
Just so I'm going to explain this a little bit for those – I'm going to oversimplify. When I'm hearing Star or Lady Shadow say bullying, here's what I'm understanding. I'm understanding that when someone comes to you to – tell you about a religion and they tell you if you do not embrace it, these are the consequences.
Yes. Exactly.
You're going to hell.
Yes. Exactly.
You are less than human.
The fear-based
religion. You are going to be punished and your whole family. That's what they mean by bullying.
Yeah.
Because they're not saying, look at my religion, explore the values, see if they make sense to you, and embrace it. They're saying, if you don't, you will be punished. And sometimes when it's a radical religion, like radical Islam, it's not only will you be punished, but I'm going to be the one punishing you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay? Exactly.
You know, so to me, those are the cults. That's the cult.
And we're the scapegoat often. Yeah. You know, like, again, we are the people that you want to avoid. We're the gypsies. We are the unholy kind because we're free thinkers.
Yeah.
And we are not
and we
going
don't
to follow
push
your
religion. You or bully you into it. We just kind of say, if it comes to you, you would know it.
Yes.
Is
there something Aryan in Wicca? Do some people mistake Wicca with the Nordic Germanic pagan
the Celtic,
religion?
Like,
the Celtic?
Of course.
Yes.
There are those types out there.
I think the reason for that is because, unfortunately, in the United States, or for a lot of, just around the world in general, a lot of Wicca or witchcraft was not documented. And then you have a tradition of people that were more documented than some. So that will come more because mm-hmm. there are more books about that. As time goes by, people try to find research and they try to come through theology-wise to find the truth to a lot of things. But if it's not documented, it's called all word of mouth.
Right.
You know, and if that's what we have more of, then, you know, we tend to learn more about that.
How do you feel about witchcraft in popular culture? Like, I know Anne Rice has written a lot. She's got her series about the witch, and I like those. But, I mean, how do you acknowledge those, or do you think it's
some of it
is
a little Hollywood? I mean, you know, you're not going to fly around on a broom, no matter how many spells you cast,
right?
And
I wish I had it. Wouldn't have to find parking.
You might be able to do an astral projection.
Actually, you haven't met my first girlfriend.
That was her car. Yeah, no, but there is something called astral projection, which is something, you know, an out-of-body experience that is induced by a sleep or meditative state or near sleep state. And, you know, that is pretty much as close as we could get to flying or connecting with other, you know, beings or on astral planes.
And, and by the way, for those of you who are shaking your head and say, what the hell is that? Let me put this in terms of nature. Everyone has seen birds fly in packs, and everyone has seen them make turns in real time. What they actually are doing is they're able to project their thoughts to one another just the way that porpoises from hundreds of feet away and whales from literally miles away. So for those who are shaking your head and saying, what is this bullshit? Okay, what is actually being said is that there is a basis in nature for thought, which is a form of energy, to be projected out in just the way when you're walking and you could feel someone behind your
back who doesn't like you. Right.
So before everyone just shakes their head, you know, take a little bit of look and see what they're actually saying. My goal in life is for people to hear one another, is for life to be about tennis, about catch and not tennis. Tennis is when I'm hitting the ball back to you and I'm not even listening to what you're saying. Catch is when I'm embracing what you're thinking, what you're saying, and then I'm offering what I think. But I'm not trying to coerce you.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to threaten you. In fact, I'm just going to say, you know what? Bless you on your path and how can we help each other?
Right.
Okay. So this is something that's very important to me. There are children in Angola and in Congo who, when being accused of witchcraft, they're put in camps, they're beaten. One mother, this is an actual fact, blinded her 14-year-old daughter by bleaching her eyes. And a father injected his 12-year-old son with battery acid. Okay. How does this happen, and how do you speak out against these things?
It's coming on your show. And you know,
I'm trying to get out there as much as possible.
Ignorance. Right. And bridging the gap between peace and empowerment and fear. You know, that clearly is an extreme circumstance of isolated instances that still take place around the world, naturally.
Yeah,
so why doesn't Wicca, you know, why do you have more of a PR component? Because most people don't know who you are. I'm sitting in front of two amazing people, okay? Why is there not a greater investment in letting people understand who you are, what the religion is, and that it should not be another target of bullies?
I think part of it is that we're very easy to target because they've already done the media behind it. I mean, they've already done the PR of that, all that negative PR that the pentagram is drawn on every movie that you see, you know, and it's always the evil that comes out of it and everything. They've already done the damage.
Right, but I want you to fight back.
We want to fight back, and we try.
The thing is, if we become an organized religion like everyone else, then we have to be regulators. And the last thing that Wiccans are regulators upon somebody else's life. It's really a path that you're drawn to, that you are supposed to create yourself. And of course, there's a lot of brotherhood and sisterhood that is involved. But the whole point is we attract by attraction, you know, by inspiration, not by, right, not by.
Also, there is a lot of states that have Pagan Pride Day that is all about educating the public in general about each one.
So come out and support us for that.
Right, right. Yeah. But unfortunately to me, a lot of the places that the Parks Department allow us to do this is in like the outer area where the tourists are or anybody can barely see you, and not in the dead center of like say Central Park or somewhere where we can actually do that and get the people who live in New York. I think they kind of inadvertently kind of just push you to the side because that's just what it is.
Right. Yeah.
And you do the best that you can. There's the Pagan Pride. We just formed Witchfest USA, which we're doing in Union Square area, which they gave us a hard time to even do. And that's really? More of a central area. We
you
just
used
started
to be in Battery Park, right?
Battery Park is the Pagan Pride, and that's still there.
Right. Okay.
But we formed Witchfest now, and we are trying to do it in more centralized areas.
When is Pagan Pride?
This year it's on the 29th, I think, right? Yeah, at Battery Park City.
Now, I'm sitting in front of the Book of Shadows. Mm-hmm. What is the Book of Shadows?
It's a blank book that you are going to create based on the path.
And that's not blank.
Which becomes unblank.
My book is not blank.
Why is it unfilled? Version.
Well, actually, not just that. It's just that whatever that author is, that's their Book of Shadows.
Exactly.
So there is no sacred book like the Bible or the Quran or the Torah.
Right.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it is very experiential, mm-hmm. and each coven or each individual gets to write their own book.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are there any overall rules?
Other than the Iham Nun, that's pretty
that's
much
right.
our biggest rule.
So the biggest rule is don't harm anyone.
Not just anyone, but yourself as well.
That's
I'm
right.
a big believer in don't harm yourself because
okay.
too many people have been committing suicides.
Else.
So it's just like, and it's not, we don't, it's not a sin with us if you commit suicide. We think that you just were not able to solve whatever it was that you had here on this planet. Mm-hmm. I recently did a memorial with five or six of us in Central Park this past week. For a young lady that 19 years old and committed suicide for whatever that was done. I'm not going to go into that part. And she was not able to handle it. How could you punish someone for something they cannot personally handle? How dare you presume to think that they should have been able to handle it?
Well, and everyone chooses subconsciously before they come into this body how they want to die, whether it's taking their own life, whether it's taking their life slowly through smoking or some other means of addiction, or whether it's accidental. That's all kind of pre-planned somewhere else, I think, in a blueprint, in our spiritual blueprint. So,
if one was practicing within the coven and you saw, let's say, some depression or schizophrenia or some mental disease, is Wiccan opposed to using some form of modern medicine to help deal with that disease?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. We're,
no.
Especially in today's times. I mean, modern Wiccans like Star and I, we're both, I'm sure, you know, connected with the science world, the medical world, the technology world. We all have iPhones. We're just like normal people, you know.
You have iPhones?
Well, I have my Android.
Oh, now there's
and
a witch.
I love my Android.
Well, let's say, you know. Okay.
I mean, if you want to think back, that could be condemned as being a witch. I mean, back in whenever an Android was an actual wireless phone. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You could have been heresy, you know? You could have been killed for being
so
witchcraft.
Do you mean that ideas that were not popular are actually being persecuted?
Yeah.
Gee, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But the Book of Shadows in generally is blank, and we have, and some groups have, one main Book of Shadow that they have, that they put in everything from all either their rituals or the different things that they do, mm-hmm. and that's sacred to them.
So is it like Freemason? Are there secrets in the Wiccan?
Well, I mean, I think it just depends on, in our coven, we have a whole entire section of ritual that is based on, you know, kind of purging your confessions and, like, you know, getting things out that or you know, burning, you know, bad thoughts or bad energy or bad luck, for instance. So that's, you know, there's confidentiality in that part of it.
It's kind
but
of
it's
like,
mostly transparent.
Yeah, I think most of it that you're considering secrecy is because back in the day, they needed secrecy in general, period, because they were going to be killed for even having that. I think what you consider similar to that or a coven structure or a temple structure doing that is like therapy. Mm-hmm. If as a therapist, we are all therapists and we're sitting in this group and we listen to each other, the things that we're having to deal with, and there's tears and there's all this going on, you're not going to have that with everybody seeing it. It's not right.
Right.
Because it's only only among us that's there at that ritual.
It's similar to a spiritual AA.
If I came to one of your events or ceremonies, would I be allowed in?
Of course.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Of course. We have public rituals and then we have the private ones that we do with people.
When people join.
Mine too, as well. Yeah. Yes.
Is there an initiation into?
No. I mean, for us, we don't have, because we're a temple and not a coven, and basically our temple is a lot of solitary people that come together. For us, everyone is different. Covens is very different to just a group forming. And with our temple, we have dedications. So as for each degree that they study and they move on, they dedicate themselves, and not dedicating themselves to the god and goddess or their path of where they want to go with it.
And Lady Shadow, how about you?
Oh, they have to bring a cup of hot blood. Are you kidding?
No.
I just want to know why hot blood.
It's always better warm.
Have to be hot-blooded.
That's right. That's right. Open-minded. No, anyone is welcome. If there's some negative energy that somebody has brought to the group, we will address that openly with the person directly. There's always plenty of communication. And there's never usually a hassle with, you know, someone who's coming in as a.
And usually when you do the open circle, everyone is invited, and we do it. There are different ways of doing the big public rituals and then the private ones. The private ones is where you will have that therapeutic thing going on, mm-hmm. and you're working collectively to provide a particular spell work or something for someone, or for yourselves all together. And then there's the public one that you still give to the general public like any other church or whatever, and you come together to celebrate the Sabbats, like the Mabon that's coming up. So it's very different in that sense.
Tell me about money. How is money handled? Do you take donations? Do you pass the cup? Is there a tithing?
I know
giving?
We do.
Sort of. Everybody kind of contributes to, you know, because there are herbs and oils and incense and things, you know, things you purchase for spellcasting, for ritual. Everybody kind of shares in that.
Is it mandatory?
For us, unfortunately, and I know there's a lot. This is such a big deal in the craft, with people saying, oh, you're not supposed to take money for this and that. I'm sorry, but in New York City, there's nothing for free. Even if you practice in the park, you have to pay for it.
That's true.
So I do not know where they get this concept of free, because that means then I have to step into my pocket and pull it out every time. Not happening. I can't afford to do that. So it's kind of mandatory. We say to people, the space that we are in right now, we have to pay for it. So we need this and this and this from you. If it's $10 each or whatever it is. If not, then if someone comes and they have only $5 or $4, we're not going to turn them away. Right. We're just saying that this is what we require. Just like any other religion, they take tithe and they take big money. I won't say big ass money, but they take big money from people to make their churches work.
Right.
And it's the same exact thing. And if you want to think about it symbiotically, even in olden times, they traded. Mm-hmm. They may have traded not maybe physical money, but they did trade. And that's just the way it goes forward.
Nothing is for free. I actually like that. So let me ask my next question. Are there any Republican Wiccans?
Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're all different.
There are Republican Wiccans out there, guys. I want you to hear that.
Yes, they are. Okay. Yes, they are. And I think they should be, just like with the religion and the different path. There are so many different paths of Wicca. They should be allowed to choose. It's their choice. We're not going to demand that you be whatever, democratic or whatever. It may not be what you are, and we're not going to demand that of you. So everybody has an individual choice.
What about, what significance does the name have? Because I was going to say, is there like a certain point? I know, you know, in Catholicism, you get confirmed and you take, you know, your confirmation name, and that's mm-hmm. when you kind of like accept the religion. Is there something like that, or is it just kind of, are you assigned it? Do you choose it yourself?
No. Everybody comes up with their name on their own. I dreamt mine, and that's the name that I'm known as. Of course, we have our birth name, but it wasn't our choice. Mm-hmm. Here are these names that are our choices, and so we go by that. And me with Star and Lady Shadow, that's our choices. Again, it's based on our empowerment.
Do you legally change the name?
Some do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some do and some don't.
Yeah. It's kind of my alter spiritual ego per se, where it's my identity, you know, and under everything that I do or publish or, you know, things on my website. But it's all subjective. Whatever you want to create.
And some people see it as or call it. Friendly muggles or craft name. With the craft name, even within the craft name, some people would have one that they publicly let everyone know and some that they keep privately. I am of the concept of I really don't care. I just stick with Star or even Hawk, and I just stick with that, and I'm cool with that.
So take the audience behind a ritual. We're in the middle of the Grand Canyon, and there is a group of 50 Wiccans practicing, and I'm watching. Okay, I'm kind of watching with the binoculars. What am I going to see?
Well, it's completely subjective what you might see, but it depends on the group.
Every group is different.
What am I going to see in your group?
Crazy group.
Come on, Lady Shadow. What am I going to see in your group?
Well, 50 people, it would be quite a few. It would be more like maybe 15.
15 people. What am I going to see?
But you would see a little bit of drumming, a little bit of dancing, maybe a few topless moon baskers, perhaps some wine or some juice sipping. You'd see some candle lighting, some chanting, a lot of smiles. You'd smell some frankincense, perhaps, or some myrrh or some raspberry leaf burning in the distance, depending on what you're creating. It's just a lot of hugging, tears, laughter. It's all of those wonderful things. Maybe a snack or two on the altar. It's nothing scary or spooky or really mysterious.
Similar for us. Exactly pretty much what she said in terms of we do a lot of chanting, dancing, singing, different parts of the ritual. We do the wine and bread blessing, and we do that as well. I loved my wine. We do offer people juices in exchange for those who do not drink wine, but I'm going for the wine.
I'm sorry. Could there be one with a martini?
On our altar, you can bring whatever beverage you'd like in
whatever
your chalice.
Whatever beverage is right. Fine. Yeah, that comes from people. Everybody brings. We ask people to bring things. So whatever they bring is what we share.
That's right.
Some people that cannot drink or eat, they will bring drink wine or eat cookies or even the juice. They bring grapes or something like that. So whatever it is that people bring is what we share.
Oh, you could bring olives to go with your
martini. Yes.
That's right.
So let me ask you a question. Is this a religion that's growing?
Oh, it's actually the third fastest growing religion in the world, and which is one of the reasons I created my course, because if I'm going to get the word out about this path and how wonderful and enlightening it is, I want to do it right, and I want to really enlighten a lot of people.
And why is it growing? Meaning, how has Harry Potter contributed to it?
I think Harry Potter, Charmed, Craft, all of them, because it shows as much as they're showing the bad side in the sense of that they're evil witches, they're also showing that they're good ones. And that shows direct down the point with any religion, it's not the religion, but the people. There are good and bad people and how they practice or how they live their lives. And it has nothing to do with religion.
Right. So what you're saying is that good and bad Christians, good and bad Jews, Islamists,
it's all about interpretation.
When you think about it, Son of Sam certainly was not a witch. You can name some of the, what's his name, who's still in jail? From the 60s.
Manson.
Manson. Yeah. He was not a witch.
Right.
You know, some of the most heinous crimes, even today, with the families that were hurting their kids. I'm sorry, that is heinous. Witches do not do that to their kids.
Or another way of saying it is that it is not a practice of Wiccan to do that to your kids.
Right.
Are there crazy people in every religion?
Yes, of course.
So that's what I want people to say. Don't look up on the internet and say, see, I got you.
Yes.
Because you can say that to anybody. Religion.
That's right.
And as well as those atheists out there will say, well, how about our belief? Well, yes. There are atheists that are humanists, and there are atheists that, are crazy.
Yes.
That's right.
So it's out there.
Well, guys, you've been absolutely such a pleasure. One of my creeds is judge nothing, understand everything. Seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And if we have brought any light, you know, to the audience, what I would encourage the audience to do is let everyone know about the show, tweet about it, because it is ignorance that creates hostility in this world. It's not the truth and openness and dialogue.
There's also, I have a website as well that people can go to that explains what Wicca really is, what our coven principles are, and if they, you know, I'm sure Star has the same thing for her temple. You know, I minus souls and
guys,
spirits.com.
Why don't you give it again?
Soulsandspirits.com. I offer an e-course on Wicca and a 366 lesson course that is really, that can be taken at your own pace, and we offer a certification afterwards upon completion, an exam that they take online as well. But that site explains so much more about this path.
And Star, how about you?
And for us, it's WiccanFamilyTemple.org. And that will click to the Academy of Pagan Studies and everything. And in following with what you said about your ending statement, I also wanted to say one of the things that a lot of Christians say is, judge not lest ye be judged. It's in the Bible. But for some reason, they commit the biggest sin every day by judging us and presuming to think who we are and bullying us with some of their religion concepts.
Right. And I do want to add that in every religion, there are those who don't bully.
Who
are Christians and Jews and Muslims who basically follow their own path and have no need to adjust anyone else.
Yes.
And for those out there who take that stand, we applaud you.
Yes, and we thank you.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And I thank you, Becky, and I thank you for being here and for sharing. And we look forward to our next meeting together.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
My guests were Star Ravenhawk and Lady Shadow. They're celebrating their Maven celebration on September 22nd from 5 to 8 p.m. and their Halloween ball on October 31st at the Drum Club and Witches Fest on June 22nd of next year. I am Dr. Errol Gluck. Remember, to every problem there is a solution. I am your problem solver. Please go to our website, gluckradio.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and tell a friend. Till next time.